Today on Colchonero Chat, Champions League. Atletico Madrid clinch Group D by getting back to basics. We'll explain what that means. Plus, La Liga. A potentially tricky trip to El Sadar awaits this weekend. Can Atletico Madrid avoid another Champions League hangover against Osasuna? All that and more after this. Hey, welcome to Colchonero Chat, the podcast of record events at thecalderon.com, a proud member of the SB Nation family of blogs. Jeremy Barron here with you. My guests on the program today are making his podcast debut, Into the Calderon staff writer, Robert Walker.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Great to have you on, Robert. And making a return appearance, Villarreal USA's Francisco Hernandez. Francisco, you there? Well, there's our first edit we have to make.
Oh, dear.
Never happened this early. Francisco, you with us? Ah, crap.
Oh, man.
All right.
Tricky connections.
Yeah, really. It's never really happened when I'm introducing the guests. That's a first.
Yeah, at the first hurdle. Daggum
it. Really, man. Dang nabbit. Let me see if he sent me something. Francisco, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, great.
All right, we're back.
All right, so that's a minute of banter I'm just going to have to edit out. All right, I'll introduce you guys again. I'll just cut this out. Hey, welcome to Colchonero Chat, the podcast of record of IntoTheCalderon.com, a proud member of the SB Nation family of blogs. Jeremy Barron here with you. My guest on the program today, making his podcast debut, Into the Calderon staff writer, Robert Walker.
Thanks for having me.
Great to have you on, Robert. And making a return appearance, Villarreal USA's Francisco Hernandez.
Glad to be back with you guys.
Great to have you on, Francisco, and much to discuss today. Since we have been graced with Francisco's presence, we will be discussing Villarreal's season to this point. They are in a tight Europa League group that is going down to the final match day, as well as, if you haven't looked at the league table recently, they're ahead of Atletico with the best defense in the league, so we'll be talking about them. And, of course, the requisite Atletico banter. Busy week for Atleti with the win over PSV. And, of course, the game at El Sadar in Pamplona this weekend. So let's start with the PSV game. Atletico Madrid 2, PSV Eindhoven 0. Atleti clinch Group D. 5 wins from 5. And this was a game in which they, as I mentioned in the outset, got back to basics after some really strange results with more wide-open play. Atleti shut that stuff down in the middle of the park on Wednesday and got a pretty easy 2-0 win. Again, clinching the group, top spot secure with 1 week to go, or one match day to go. This was the group I saw coming out of the draw as potentially the group of death, other than that Monaco, Leverkusen, Spurs nightmare. This was a very, very difficult group at the outset, and it turned out to be a pretty challenging group. Atleti have won it with, you know, one match day to spare, which is pretty impressive. And, of course, this was made possible by Rostov's shock 3-2 win over Bayern Munich earlier that day. Crazy game that was.
Yeah, it was important for Atletico to recover from, or to take advantage of Bayern Munich stumbling in Rostov. That was a big result for the group so that they didn't have to get a result in Munich on the last match day.
Yep. Only needed a draw from the game against PSV to claim top spot. They went a little beyond that and won the game. That game on December 6th, as you mentioned, Robert, is now pretty much meaningless other than the chance to finish the group stage with a 100% record, which I believe would make it like the sixth team to do that other than Milan. Actually, yeah, it would make them 16. Milan, Spartak Moscow, PSG, Barcelona, and Real Madrid, the only other teams that have won 6 out of 6 in the Champions League group stage. So, potentially a chance at history on December 6th. We'll see how Diego Simeone chooses to play that. Betting both teams will send out their fair amount of reserves, but we'll see. But back to this one, Atleti recently had come under some fire for more open play and conceding more goals and losing this famous Simeone structure, Cholismo, the style of play. They had lost that. And I mentioned on the last Colchonero chat, this has been a team that has kind of straddled identities to this point in the season, whereas you want to keep playing this Cholismo style that has won you trophies and been so successful, and you want to balance that with this evolution, Atletico 2.0. Robert, Atleti went back to the former style on Wednesday.
Yeah, definitely. They totally shut PSV down. There weren't too many chances on the PSV end. But it's been a rough transition so far for Atletico, sort of trying to get into a bit more goal-scoring form than they're probably used to in previous seasons under Simeone. So, I mean, this was a game they had to bounce back from after the terrible Derby defeat. And again, this weekend, they just have to keep picking up results to make sure that, you know, things don't go downhill rapidly. So,
yeah, this was a really important game for a couple reasons. It allowed a lot of the squad players to get some time. Former stalwarts in the team, like Thiago, who we'll talk about getting some time. This really was a game that brought back some memories of the 2013-14 title winners. This really was a game that brought back memories of the early Simeone squads. PSV managed very few chances. I think they only had five shots for the entire game. Four shots for the entire game, my mistake.
Yeah.
Their best chance came in the first half. I think it was Gaston Pereiro who was in a 1v1 with Jan Oblak. Griezmann tracked back and pestered him just enough to where his shot was harmless. Oblak handled it without much of a problem. That was really their best chance about midway through the first half. And after that, especially in the second half, Atleti really stepped it up into gear, kept things really compact, really tight in midfield in the first half, then opened things up just a little bit, hit PSV on the counter in the second half. Gamero scoring his first Champions League goal for Atleti, the club's 100th in the UCL, before Griezmann put it away about 10 minutes later.
Yeah, PSV were really not so great in the second half. I mean, they only had two shots the whole time, and one was blocked and the other was off target, so they couldn't really get anything going.
Yeah, it's weird because this was a team that was last year or earlier this calendar year really, really good and nearly knocked Atletico out of the Champions League.
Right, yeah, and they have some very good young players and some experienced players of the top division like the De Jong brothers, but, I mean, there was just nothing. Atletico shut them down, and after what happened last weekend, it was they really needed to do that. So that was good to see.
Yeah, they really needed this. Gamero had managed a few really good chances in the first half, just couldn't quite connect. But in the second half, he connected. Griezmann fed him a really, really slick through ball that was perfectly placed so that no one but Gamero could reach it. It was brilliant. Gamero picked it up and off the far post and in past Jeroen Zoet. That was all Atletico would need, but 10 minutes later, Thiago wins the ball in midfield, delivers a really, it looked simple, but it was really elegant ball to Griezmann, who rushed into the box, sliding finish with the left foot past Zoet. That was kind of a personal battle. Zoet had stopped Griezmann several times during the previous three Champions League encounters. Griezmann finally got one on him. So two goals in about 11 minutes, and that was that. A few things from this game. Number one, Thiago's re-entry into the team. He was so important in this game for the composure he brought, the experience he brought. It was his first Champions League start for more than a year. It looked like he hadn't missed a beat. Set up Griezmann for the second and final goal. And again, great to see that Gabi-Thiago partnership that won La Liga, that had been so important in establishing Atletico as a European power. It was great to see it get back out on the pitch and look as good as ever.
Definitely, and I think if Atletico are going to do anything, either in the league or in the Champions League, this is going to need those players, especially Gabi and Thiago, that are so experienced to really come in and look like there's no difference and keep things going. just the way they did in that game. That through ball from Thiago to Griezmann was gorgeous in that game, and he's just going to have to keep doing it. And I think, you know, it's always better to have experienced players in these sort of tough games, especially in the Champions League.
Yeah, talk about turning back the clock on that Thiago assist.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was sublime. Winning the ball, then setting up Griezmann. And Griezmann gave him credit for it in his celebration as they embraced it. It was great to see. Second thing I noticed was a potentially very important tactical wrinkle. Koke lined up on the wing, as we have seen him do throughout his career. Before the so-called permanent move to the center this season, he lined up on the right side mostly in this game. In defense, but when Atletico attacked, when Atletico were on the counter or sustained possession, Koke drifted toward the middle and created chances through the middle, which made Atletico's attack strong. Because when Koke is playing through the middle, Atletico's attack is much better than when he is not. And this is something that potentially could solve this problem. What Gabby called the team being fragile. Koke can play on the wing in defense, but you move him to attack. As soon as you move to attack, Gabby shifts out to the right, Koke back to the middle. I think that is something that could solve this problem, potentially.
Definitely, and Koke's passing in the game against PSV was incredible. I mean, if you look at the pass map of that game, he's making passes all over the field, making things happen, forward passes, just keeping the attack going. And if he is in that central role alongside Gabby, and Gabby and him can sort of shift positions whenever the time is right, then he will be very important for the sort of soul of this team, to make sure that the two front players, the Gamero and Griezmann, and, you know, Torres sometimes. can get good chances in the box. So
yeah, and that's something that takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of training to get the timing right, to make sure you're in one place in defense and at another place in attack. But if it's done correctly, then it will make Atletico a stronger, more solid team. I think people kind of underestimate how good of a defensive midfielder Koke is. Koke is an excellent defensive-type midfielder. And he can also play as a pseudo-10 going forward. And this is potentially... we're not going to know for sure if it's going to continue until tomorrow against Osasuna, but this is potentially something that could change how Atleti's midfield plays. If Koke just drifts to the middle in attack, but stays on the wing to shut down an opposing fullback or a speedy winger, that's something that could be really important. Third and really final noteworthy thing from this game, Jose Jimenez returning to the team and playing really quite well. Didn't make any boneheaded mistakes, which he is known for.
Exactly, and after Savic in the derby, I think it was a lot of people were saying that his poor performance was going to be a good thing for Jimenez to get a chance of running the team, and he looked solid, and that's really all you can ask for from a center half. And going forward, maybe he'll get more chances, and hopefully he can sort of just work on his consistency, and he could be a really, really important player for Atletico.
Yeah, what I liked was he held his position in this game. He used his speed to get on the end of passes, to chase guys around the final third, around the opposing around the Atletico's box. He's a very fast player. The problem is when he gets too aggressive, but he kept that in check on Wednesday. Did a really nice job next to Godin, and it looks like he's going to start again tomorrow. We'll talk about that, but it looks like he and Lucas Hernandez will be in the starting 11. Tomorrow. So really good performance for Jose Mott. Hopefully gives Cholo something to think about moving forward, because Savic's form, as we've mentioned, not very good the last month, and Messi just kept a clean sheet without him. So perhaps a fight to get back into the team. We're not too sure on that, but for now, Jose Mott's playing well, and he should continue to get a run in the team.
Right, and competition for places in defense is always important. And, you know, maybe this sort of competition from Jimenez and Lucas Hernandez can encourage Savic to maybe do a little bit better in the coming weeks, because he certainly improvement.
You would think so. Overall, a very solid performance to win the group. Atleti, the only team in the Champions League with a 100% record, 5 wins from 5. Could go 6 of 6 on December 6th against Bayern Munich. We'll shift to the Europa League for a minute. So, Francisco, Villarreal in a very tight group. What's going on in Group L of the Europa League?
It's been quite a contrast for Villarreal. The Europa League, like, they've been solid in the league, but they can just, for some reason, they can manage to translate their league form to the Europa League.
Yeah, a 1-1 draw with Zurich on Thursday, a second division in Switzerland, Zurich. Villarreal now second in that group on 6 points, but it reads like this. Osman Luspor from Turkey, top of the group on 7, Villarreal on 6, Steaua Bucharest on 6, and FC Zurich on 6. So that is definitely going down to the final match day. What happened during this game against Zurich?
Villarreal just couldn't convert their chances. They could go ahead 4-0 at the break, but the finishing just wasn't there. Like, Bakambu wasted a lot of chances. He still isn't 100%, you know, his best form. Denis Cheryshev hasn't managed to grab his best form either. And in the end, we were just lucky that Zurich didn't win. Yeah. So it's quite a contrast from the league. We don't know what's going on.
Yeah, better than 60% possession during this game in Switzerland for FC Zurich. And what did you think of the penalty? Was it deserved?
Yes, it was definitely deserved. Zurich were pushing hard for the equalizer. Villarreal just couldn't control the tempo of the game at that time. It was quite embarrassing, to be honest, not winning at home.
Well, given how well Villarreal have been doing in the league so far this season, what would you say your expectation is for them in the Europa League? Obviously, getting out of this group would be probably expected, yeah. But how far do you think Villarreal could go?
Last season, they went as far as the semifinals, mm-hmm. And they lost against Liverpool, of course, and we are optimists that managed to qualify to the next round in the last match date. I would go as far as to say that semifinals again would be a good season for Villarreal in the Europa League.
Do you think that there may be a temptation, though, to maybe not go that far, focus on the league? Villarreal doing excellent in La Liga, and potentially a really good chance to actually get into the group stage proper next season rather than face Monaco and get, you know, stiffed out of the group stage in the knockout, in the qualifying stage. Is there a temptation, you think, to, I guess, tank the Europa League and just focus on La Liga and the Copa?
Certainly, that could be a possibility. Just drop out on the Europa League and focus on La Liga and the Copa. I guess people the Villarreal fans haven't gotten over that the team didn't qualify to the Champions League. At this point, the Europa League isn't very appealing for the Villarreal fan. Like, the prize money is just not as good as the Champions League.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it makes sense that, you know, a lot of Villarreal fans would be kind of blah on the Europa League. You know, you were close on actually getting back into the group stage, you know, just a few years after coming back from the second division. It would have been an incredible story. And Villarreal were very close to doing it, just, you know, unfortunately couldn't do it. And you look at the position Monaco are in now, group winners in that group with Leverkusen, Spurs, and CSKA Moscow. You look at where Monaco are and where Villarreal could have been, it's got to be disappointing. It's got to be, you think about it, it's got to be very frustrating.
It is certainly frustrating, Jeremy. that could have been us, like you said. But
yep, could have been.
Which, yeah.
And given the success that Villarreal have had in the league so far, you'd think that they could probably do some damage to a lot of the teams in the Champions League. I mean, Spurs looked terrible, so, Villarreal could have done a lot more, so that could be part of why they're struggling in the Europa League. I mean, it's just, it really just isn't the same in the Europa League, so.
You know, it's much harsher conditions, much smaller teams, smaller grounds. And again, the prize money is not nearly enough to, make the mouth water.
So right.
It's very different. And, Atleti were once in this position. Won 2 Europa League crowns in 3 years. And once they got back into the Champions League, that kind of opened the door. It allowed Atleti to spend more money, boost the club's prestige. And now, look at them. 2-time finalist in 3 years. So it can't happen. The key is just breaking through the door.
Yeah, and I think we'll most likely, given how well Villarreal have done these past 2 seasons, I think it's, as long as they continue on the path they're going, they'll almost definitely be in the Champions League at some point soon.
Yeah, probably, I would say they're one of the favorites to make it next season. So that is definitely a group to keep your eye on as far as Europa League is concerned, if you're interested in it. which, some people aren't. That's not their cup of tea, because there are just so many teams and the format is messed up and needs a rehaul. But, we'll talk about that on another show. So that's a very interesting group. Group L in the Europa League, where Villarreal could either win it or finish bottom of the group. It all depends on the final match day, and Villarreal will be playing. Let's see who they're playing. They're playing Alaves at the weekend, but their final Europa League game is against Steaua Bucharest. So that's at El Madrigal. So you got to think they would be favored in that game. El Madrigal is a fortress. Atletico will be going there in a couple weeks, and I am not looking forward to that. So
yeah, that'll be a tough game.
Yeah, it's going to be a nightmare. Quite frankly, it's going to be a nightmare. So that's what Villarreal are doing. Both teams kind of different fates in Europe. Atleti going through to the next round of the Champions League as winners. Villarreal in a bit of a fight to keep its European future for this season. But both teams competitive in La Liga. Villarreal more so than Atleti so far this season. After this, we will talk about how the league season is going for Villarreal, preview their game against Alaves, and Atletico's game against Osasuna. We're back. La Liga this weekend. Already had a couple of really good games today. Malaga with a 4-3 win over Depor, which, if you haven't seen the winning goal from that game, Javi Ontiveros scored it very late on. You have to see it. Cracking goal. Real Madrid with a 2-1 win over Sporting Gijon, of course. Espanyol and Leganés currently playing. That is goalless early in the second half. But Villarreal and Atletico play tomorrow. Villarreal have the early game against Alaves, a pretty surprising Alaves team who, have lost 4 of their last 6, but, still 4 points clear of the drop zone. Again, that is at El Madrigal. And Osasuna hosting Atleti at El Sadar. A chance for Atleti to avoid another Champions League hangover, which they've already experienced 2 this season after the game was against Rostov. Osasuna currently sitting 2nd from bottom, just 1 win in 12, 7 points from those 12 games. They have a new manager, Joaquin Cabarros, the former Sevilla manager, the architect of some of those Europa League winning sides, coming in. His first game in charge was a 2-0 loss to Leganés, in which Osasuna looked pretty much as uninspiring as they have looked throughout the season. They played a new 4-2-3-1 formation. Did not really work. They got outshot 15-5, and Leganés managed 55% possession. So you would think this is a pretty good opportunity for Atleti to make up some ground in the league, which they have to do, as they are currently sitting in 6th place on 21 points. Robert, how is this game bigger than the PSV game, you think?
Yeah, I'd say so. It's pretty much, it's a cliche to say it's a must-win game, but, it really is, given what happened last weekend and I mean, it's a newly promoted team that's right in, you know, 19th place. I mean, you don't – these are the kind of games you have to win. And in the situation that Atletico are in, they need to win it even more. It's interesting for both Atletico and Villarreal because they're coming up against two newly promoted teams, and they both had European games midweek. So it'll be interesting to see the results if they're similar or if there's a big difference between the two.
Yeah, it could help Villarreal that they're going to be at home. Atletico are not at home. The last time Atleti were at El Sadar was a 3-0 loss during the 2013-14 season that did not derail the title campaign, but you know came kind of close. Again, Osasuna have really been struggling despite a lot of new signings over the summer. Again, just the one win from 12 games. And it kind of depends on how you view the league for Atletico. If La Liga is still attainable for Atletico, I don't think it is. But if it's still attainable, this is no doubt about it. You need to get 3 points here. Nothing else will do. But if you have started to subscribe to the notion that Atleti should be all in on the Champions League, it should be all in on the cup competitions and just try to get top four in La Liga, I'm not there yet. I'm kind of leaning towards that method of thinking.
Yeah,
still an important game. It's important, not just for the points that it'll give you, but for the confidence level. The team you got to beat, and I think a similar like an analog to this game last season was the game at Sporting Gijón at El Monon, which Atleti lost 2-1 on two late goals. That was a terrible, terrible game. This kind of gives me a similar vibe to where, Osasuna are doing pretty poorly. It looks like they're going to go down. You tend not to survive with 7 points from your first 12 games, and you've already changed your manager. Kaparos is a very capable manager, very experienced manager, but he's got his hands full with this one.
Well, and when Osasuna were last in through their tenure throughout the past few years, they've been known to get sort of scrapes against the big teams and pull off some surprising wins. So it's definitely not going to be an easy game for Atletico. They'll probably have a lot of possession and probably dominate the game, but they're going to have to break down. You'd imagine a team that are desperate for points. So it definitely won't be easy. And I'm with you on the leaning towards being more into the Champions League and the Copa del Rey being of more importance. But, I mean, the problem for Atletico is the league is totally out of their hands at this point. They just have to hope and pray that Real Madrid, Barcelona, and everyone else above them, Sevilla, drop points over the coming weeks, and they just have to keep winning. So it certainly won't be easy, and, I mean, they just have to win. Honestly, the weekend, if there's going to be any hope of La Liga being at all attainable for Atleti this season.
It's a combination of a lot of teams have to drop points and Atleti need to pick up all these points.
Right.
And a word on El Sadar, the stadium, it's a very small stadium, fans very, very close to the pitch. So it'll be a challenge to go and win there. The starting 11, there are going to be a couple more changes. Felipe Luis will not be playing in this one due to the muscle spasm he suffered towards the end of the PSV game. Felipe will likely not be making the trip. So Lucas Hernandez will get the start at left back. The 11 is expected to be Oblak in goal with Juanfran, Godin, Jimenez, and Lucas at the back. Angel Correa and Koke on the wings, with Gabby and Thiago, or Gabby and Saul in the middle, Griezmann and Kevin Gamero up top. So that's a pretty strong side with a couple rotations, some younger players coming in, but still a stronger side that really should beat Osasuna.
They should win, but given what happened in the league last weekend against Real Madrid and, you know, there's some factors that can't be measured through the strength of the team or the strength of the statistics so far. So this is just simply a must-win game for Atletico, and it's not going to be easy because teams that are down the relegation zone, either they're going to be really hard to beat or they're just going to totally give up. So let's hope it's the latter, but I doubt it.
Yeah, interestingly, we just posted this on the blog. Nicolas Chiapacase, a 17-year-old Uruguayan, very highly rated, is in the squad on Sunday. to play Osasuna. If things go right, he could get his professional debut, or his senior team debut. Would be that'd be pretty impressive.
That'd be very exciting. Yeah,
it would be. So hopefully things break right to where Simeone can throw him on. I'm going to go with a 2-0 win in a game that won't be decided till the very end. A little bit like the Valencia game, where Atletico have to guard a 1-0 lead for a while, miss some chances, and then just take it late.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think it's probably going to be something like 2-0 or 3-0. I can't see Osasuna putting up much of a threat to Atletico unless they just hit him on the counter or something crazy happens, a crazy penalty. But I think it should be fairly straightforward for Atleti if they play their game and everyone's on top of what they should be doing. So.
Yeah, Osasuna have a couple threats. Roberto Torres and Sergio Leon both on 4 goals this season.
Yep.
So it'll likely come from them if Osasuna do score. But again, this is a team with a lot of weaknesses and who are going to need to really, really fight to get this result. Francisco, Villarreal hosting Alaves this weekend. Alaves been a surprise team. They have Theo Hernandez on loan from Atleti, starting the balance of games at left back. What are your thoughts going into this game?
Villarreal would be hoping to get a win and leave their Europa League woes behind. And of course, it's been quite a highly competitive season for third and fourth places. You got Villarreal and Sociedad with the same points, and Atletico with 21, as well as Eibar.
Yeah, Eibar, man, that's quite the team. Yeah. Eibar now 21 points. They are level with Atletico. Have not played Atleti yet, so there's no head-to-head advantage, but Eibar have been so impressive. Villarreal currently in fourth on 22 points, level with Real Sociedad in that regard. And the best defense in La Liga, 8 goals conceded through 12 games. That's normally an honor that goes toward Atletico, not this season, though.
But, yeah, it's been quite a remarkable season for our defense. And Asenjo, of course you remember Asenjo.
Yep, of course, former Atleti great, Sergio Asenjo.
Right. He's living all those terrible injuries he suffered in the previous seasons. It's great to see him at the top of his game once again.
A guy I thought who I think has been pretty influential for Villarreal, who I didn't quite expect, Nicolas Sansone, coming over from Sassuolo over the summer. What have you made of Sansone's performances?
It's been a magnificent signing for us. Although his production has decreased in the past games, we are confident that he's gonna score a couple of goals against Alaves.
And Asenjo as well, keeping those clean sheets, good for him. Atleti fans will be interested in how you think Rafael Santos Borre is doing. Went on loan this summer when Villarreal were still looking pretty good in terms of qualifying for the Champions League. How has he gotten on in terms of the league, in terms of Europa League? How has Fran Escriba used him?
He's gotten behind the pecking order at the moment. He hasn't seen much activity in the past games. Of course, he was a starter during the start of the season after the injury to Soldado and Sansone couldn't play because of he was cup tied since he played with Sassuolo.
Right.
But Borre, he has fallen behind. Escriba prefers Bakambu and Sansone, and then you have Pato, and Borre's currently the fourth option.
Yeah,
as far as striking options for Villarreal.
Kind of a difficult situation for him because Bakambu was excellent last year, has been pretty good again this year. Sansone has been a terrific signing. Alexander Pato got off to a pretty good start, has been kind of hit and miss since then, but he does have more of a reputation, and he's older than Santos Borre, who's just 21 years old, and has made 7 league appearances, 6 of them coming off the bench, has registered 1 assist to this point. Hopefully he gets more time a little later in the season as Francisco Ribas, he's fit, but he's the boss, he's in charge, he's done, you know, he's helped turn that team around. And noticed anything different between him and Marcelino?
Yeah, there's been a couple different differences in playing styles. Esquira prefers a much more possession-based style. Mm. With Marcelino, the team used to sit back and counter-attack, similar to some of Simeone's tactics. I don't know if you guys watched the game last weekend, or you were aware of it, when Villarreal visited San Mamés to play against Bilbao.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Esquira did something similar to Simeone, like a tribote, kind of. He played a lot of midfielders against Bilbao. He thought he was going to have much more possession, and it backfired on him.
They went like a 4-5-1 in that game, didn't they? They went a bit of 4-5-1 there with a double pivot of Bruno and Rodri. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a very close game. And San Mamés is never an easy place to go.
Former Atletico hero Raul Garcia getting the winner in that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, Francisco Ribas really stacked the midfield in that game. Didn't really work out for him. Not a lot of great chances for Villarreal, but a very tight game. It could have been important points for them, but Athletic getting the win at home. And Athletic, another one of those teams, comprising a very, very tight top 8 to this point.
So, definitely.
Yeah, we'll see there.
And Alaves this weekend, obviously in the beginning of the season, they went to the Calderon and drew with Atleti and then went
draw.
On. Yeah, exactly, and beat Barcelona. So, interesting to see how they do going to Villarreal this weekend.
They made like 17 signings this summer. It was insane what Alaves did with the business that they did. So, Francisco, you anticipating kind of a difficult game? Alaves do have some counterattacking threats.
Yes.
They've gone to the big grounds this season and done well, as Robert mentioned, getting that draw at the Calderon and winning at Barcelona.
Indeed, it was quite a shocking beginning of the season for them. They managed to grab a couple of important points, but now they fall back and they can manage to get a result to solidify their position in the table. We're confident that we can put a couple of goals behind them. But of course, they're a newly appointed team, and of course, they have the hunger to stay in the top flight. It's going to be quite an interesting game.
Would you predict a scoreline? How confident are you in the win?
I'd say 3-1.
Right. Little cheeky, I like it. But we'll see how that goes. It's at El Madrigal. That is the early game on Sunday. That's like a 3 a.m. game my time, so hooray.
Yeah.
Love those early kickoffs in Spain. Love them.
Yeah.
I'd like to kick off is a little later. It's 8:15 Arizona time, which is Sunday afternoon kickoff. But Villarreal Alaves game is the Sunday morning kickoff, and Barcelona and Real Sociedad playing later at Anoeta, which is usually a Barcelona loss. Could be a pretty big shakeup there. If Sociedad win that game, they could, if everything breaks right, move up into third.
So, right, and it's sort of a strange position because they would put even more distance between themselves and Atleti, but you know, Atleti want Barcelona to drop points if there's going to be any hope of them sticking in the title race at all. So.
Yeah, the best case for Atleti this weekend is fourth place. No catching Madrid. Can't catch Barcelona yet. Sevilla have the head-to-head advantage. So that, and that is if Villarreal do not win, and that is if Real Sociedad do not win, and Atletico do win. That would get Atletico into fourth, which of course top four gets to the group stage or the qualifying rounds, and that's got to be Atleti's aim. 75 points or so should get you top four. Pretty confident Atleti can do that. A lot of these games at home in the second half of the season, a lot of the big teams coming to the Calderon in the second half of the season, so a chance to pick up those points there. La Liga has just been so strange this season. It's been great. It's been great to see the parity in the league and a lot of competitive teams going and getting results. It's been great to see.
It really has, and I mean, so many of the, I guess you'd call it the mid-table teams, I mean, even teams like Malaga, who, you know, over the past couple of seasons have been decent but nothing special, or, I mean, they're going to be pushing towards the end of the season to try to get into the Europa League. I don't know if they'll necessarily get there, but, you know, it's so tight from basically third down to ninth at this point, and you know, I could see so many different teams getting into Europe in various different situations. But like you said, absolutely the aim has to be to get at least in the top four for Atleti.
Yeah, I mean, right now Atleti are closer to 10th than they are to 2nd.
So right.
that might have to change a little bit. But yeah, you think the Champions League spots are tough to figure out. Look at the Europa League spots. Sociedad are in 5th. Atleti are in 6th. And then Las Palmas are in 11th, 6 points separating Sociedad from Las Palmas. So pretty interesting stuff. And La Liga no longer just the boring and uncompetitive league. It's pretty exactly, pretty competitive now.
Well, and that's sort of been a fake or something people that don't watch La Liga have said for a while. Yeah, but this season it's
been the
very
meme.
Clearly extremely competitive.
Yeah, it's been the meme for a while that, oh, it's boring and competitive in a two-team league. No, it's not. It's always been more than that. When your favorite team loses in Europe to a Spanish team, you should know that.
Exactly.
So that'll just about do it for us on this edition of Colchonero Chat. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. The blog's account is at Into the Calderon. You can follow me at JB Barron. Roberts, where can the good people on Twitter follow you?
They can follow me at Trappin, TRAUPPIN, and also on Into the Calderon on a fairly frequent basis at this point.
Beautiful. Francisco, you can follow Francisco at
FHBernalos10 at Twitter.
And follow the Villarreal blog, Villarreal USA, SB Nation's Villarreal blog. Really good stuff. We hope to have them on as the Atleti Villarreal game next month lurches ever closer. We hope to have them on. Thanks so much for listening. We will catch you next time. Adios.